Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I'm joined by my sister Kay. We're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on season two or three?
I think three.
Three of Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah, it's three of Legends of Tomorrow. It's hard to keep track. We've watched the first nine episodes of it. We're recording this part. We'll come back later once the show has come back and we've watched those episodes.
Yeah, I feel sorry for the Legends. I mean, they broke all of history.
They've had a couple of... In the first year season, it was, you know, protect against, was it Vandal Savage?
Yes.
Was the big bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that was an inherently flawed premise because they could only defeat him at certain points lest they preclude their own origins in some cases because they had the Hawks at that point.
Yeah.
And then the second season, they teamed up with the JSA and they had to go up against the Legion of Doom.
Yes.
And now this third season, it ended the second and started this with them having broken time and they're dealing with time anomalies. So they're just time cops, essentially.
Well, and we brought back a character I'd kind of forgotten about from Arrow. The daughter.
Oh, I'd forgotten about the daughter. But Damian Dark was part of the Legion of Doom or whatever last season.
Yeah, but I forgot we'd seen the daughter in Arrow.
We'd seen her as a kid. We'd never seen her grown up.
Correct. Well, that's the whole time travel aspect of the show.
And I'm still unclear where this Damian Dark, I guess it's after he's died because we saw him resurrected.
Yes. In a very vampire-esque Jack the Ripper, Victorian England mashup.
And of course, Eobard Thawne, who was also part of the Legion of Doom last season, we've seen him back in the crossover of Crisis on Earth X this season. That leaves Malcolm Merlyn, who... Was he still alive? I'm forgetting if he died or not and where he was in his timeline.
I've lost track.
We see them out of place, and there's so many of these shows that they can bounce around. It is hard to keep track, particularly when you sometimes see alternate versions of them from another timeline.
Yeah.
The other thing they've set up now is, particularly with this ninth episode, is Grodd has time travel.
Yes.
So they're going to have to go chase that down, I would think, before the end of the season. And it was interesting because the mid-season kind of finale or whatever here ended with kind of a Christmas dinner with the team on the Wave Rider.
Yeah.
And it struck me that out of the eight characters, only half the characters were there from the beginning. Canary.
Okay.
Jax.
Yeah.
Adam, Raymond.
Yeah.
And... McRory, Heatwave.
Right, because we have a different Snart at this point.
Different Snart.
Mm-hmm.
We've,
brought in Amaya.
We've brought in, Zari.
Yeah, I think so.
Amaya is is Vixen, the grandmother of the one we'd seen in Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Zari is essentially Isis, although they haven't used that name yet. And all we've seen is air powers.
Yeah.
She had a few others in the comics, but in the comics she was based off, she's a derivative character that was originally a Filmation character that was Mighty Isis and Shazam. They were the two live action superhero shows in the 70s. DC had Captain Marvel. Filmation created their own Isis.
Hmm.
That company went under. DC has, I don't want to say resurrected the character, but created a very, very, very similar character. And this is the TV incarnation of this alternate character, or yet another version of her, though.
Yeah.
And then the fourth new character was Steel.
Yes.
So we've had a number of characters kind of come and go already.
Mm-hmm.
Hawk Girl, Martin Stein, the other half of Firestorm, Rip Hunter, the original Captain Cold.
Hawkman.
Huh?
You only said Hawk Girl.
Hawkman was never really part of the team. He hung around a bit. He was always missing and they were trying to find him.
Oh, okay. I'll give you that.
But I'm curious, with them having written out Firestorm, if they're going to have a void that they're going to fill.
They seem to like having an empty chair.
In terms of...
They've got a number of chairs up on the bridge, and they seem to like always having an empty chair where we're always either searching for the person that chair belongs to or searching for someone to fill that chair.
Well, and there's a certain aspect of if you have a guest, they need somewhere to sit.
I guess, but it just feels like we're constantly either hunting down our missing member or we are aware we have an empty slot we need to fill.
Well, because again, the first season there was Hawkman of where is he? Can we find him? For a while, same with Heatwave.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think last season if they kind of had that void they were filling.
Snart went missing when he died. His chair became the void. And then Amaya filled in.
I mean, they've certainly had a bit more of a rotating cast, but not so much thinking, geez, is anybody going to stay? Well, Rip was the one who vanished last season.
Yeah.
For about half the season.
Yeah.
And there are pros and cons to that. It's fun to change up the dynamic here and there. And where they left off with the hiatus here is Constantine is coming for a visit.
Yeah.
Now, I don't take him as anything more than we got the teaser here, he'll be in the next episode, and then he's off. He is not the type, I think, that makes a regular team member.
Not regular, but the way the teaser was, it felt like more than one episode to me.
That could be. It could be he's here for the next half of the season.
It felt like at least a short arc to me, like two or three episodes, the way that teaser played out.
All right. It did feel like it should be more than a single episode.
In part because he was saying Mollus knew her name.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's a conduit to the supposed big bad of the season.
Yeah. It may be that he sets stuff up, he goes off to do things, they go off to do something, and maybe he comes back at the end.
I certainly don't expect him for another 15 episodes or 13. However,
whatever back half is.
But I thought two or three at least.
Okay. I don't see him as a replacement for Jax and Martin.
No. And I feel like we're going to get back Jax with a new other half.
I would like to see that. I think he's a good actor and adds a lot just to the dynamic.
I think it's a combination of that and we now have the Wave Rider with no mechanic.
That too. He is needed.
I mean, he's not a filler piece. If you're looking at dynamics on board the ship, you have one person who's well-versed in history.
Mm-hmm.
You had two people who were well-versed in science. Now you have one.
Of Martin and Ray.
Yes.
Oh.
You had one mechanic. You just let him leave the ship.
Now you've got none, yeah. I see it as during the Constantine arc, if it is one, that we've got Raymond and Steele trying to act as the mechanics. How hard could this be? We can figure this out.
Yes, yes.
Potentially with Snart and Mick being kind of the sarcastic overseers.
Yeah. I think Snart still is the spice. He always has been.
But now in a very different way.
Yes. Yeah. Amaya serves as a moral compass, even when she is personally lost.
Well, and it's also interesting that Amaya with the totem for Vixen, and they're tying that into the necklace for Zari as another totem or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the water totem for the villainess, who is the other granddaughter of Amaya.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, are they going to get the other actress who played Vixen in for a bit?
Yeah.
But to me, there's somewhere they're going with those totems. I've got to imagine there's another one or two we're going to get.
Yeah.
And I want to see where they go with that, because I think they're trying to kind of build mythology, if you will.
When in terms of roles on board ship, I'm not sure they've figured out Zari's role.
She's a little bit of the wild card, and...
I mean, she's the loophole lawyer of the crowd.
To me, it's more a matter of she's the one that has more context than they have at times. Because she's from the future. From their future.
Yeah.
I've read a little bit about the behind the scenes that they had created her as a Muslim and as some of those other aspects as a direct response to Trump as president.
Interesting.
And the Muslim ban and all this kind of stuff.
Well, and I felt they brought her in to offer different perspective. And I appreciate that. But in terms of going back to if you have to staff up your ship and people are going to come and go, you have to have a mechanic. Or you at least have to be able to repair your ship.
No, and I get that. I think the role she plays, though, on the ship is similar to what Sarah played when Rip was in charge of the kind of you should do it this way. I don't say the opposition or the friction. But she, when you were saying she's a loophole lawyer, she was the one trying to do what needed to be done, not against the captain's wishes, but kind of the devil on the shoulder almost.
Well, and I was going to say, Mick is devil's advocate, whether he means to be or not.
Well, and a certain cut to the chase aspect.
Yes, definitely.
Get to the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they bring some new characters in the second half. As to who, I really don't know who would be kind of the most interesting choices. If you look across the various shows, they focused very heavily around the satellite era of the Justice League. And if they're going to go supernatural, as bringing Constantine in alludes, as this mollusk big bad implies, Zatanna would make sense. And it could be that Constantine can't stick around, but he knows somebody who might fit in better.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting. The whole going after time anomalies, it makes sense. It motivates stories. I did find it interesting in this last episode we watched how they directly referenced how many of the episodes have tied into their personal history.
Yes.
You know, Raymond as a kid, you know, Mick's father and things of that sort.
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's not the first time they've dealt with their own past.
Yeah.
And at one point they basically kidnapped their baby selves to keep them safe. So I'm not sure where they're going with that.
I'm not thrilled to have Damian Dark back. I'm almost fine with the daughter and would have preferred the daughter simply on Mission of Vengeance without Daddy.
I think my problem with him being back is so soon.
Yes. Yeah.
If it had been a few seasons and it's like, yeah, we're long since done. Wait, he's back?
Yeah, exactly.
That would have worked.
Yeah.
But having him back, and then also in the Crisis on Earth X crossover, Eobard's back, both from the dead.
Yeah.
It's as if there's no lasting repercussions, no stakes.
Yeah.
The daughter needs to be developed. She's not a character in and of her own right.
Yes, exactly. And for that matter, I think the Time Bureau hasn't gotten developed.
That was one where Rip, basically between scenes, had spent 5 years setting them up.
Yeah.
And they're just annoying. They're bureaucratic. They've turned on him.
Yeah.
Or he's turned on them, depending how you look at it. If we get for them to, I don't say to be justified, but to be likable, we almost need an episode from their perspective.
Yeah.
And either have it turn out that the new recruit of the Time Bureau is one of our people that we don't realize at first or becomes a member of the team, whatever. And something that, yeah, they're being really hard on the Legends, but it's for a reason. They're not really against them, but they need to be the bureaucracy or the authority that the Legends rebel against.
Yeah.
And you know what I would do with that, actually? Presumably, the Bureau lasts for a long time. At the very least, they're dealing with anomalies.
Yeah.
I would have them have their new recruit be a museum security guard, okay? Who's pilfered a few things from the museum. Turns out, though, it's from a future museum. Have him be Booster Gold. Booster Gold, in the 25th century, was a museum guard at a science and technology museum, whatever, I forget the museum. Stole a Legion flight ring, force field belt, a suit that gave him blasters and stuff like that. And made him a cheap kind of Iron Man kind of a thing. Now, it turns out, though, the flight ring and the force field belt were from another 500 years in the future. So there's the how does he get them sort of a thing. But he basically then travels back in time to become a hero, but a promotional spokesperson for cereals, toys, cars, whatever. Because he's a football player. That's just how he thinks.
Yeah.
And it would be fun to do that because they could pull him in, have him be a recruit, and him kind of realize, no, no, this isn't the way to do it. I want to be a hero. I want to be like them.
Yeah.
And as they're trying to, well, we've got to get them on the straight and narrow and stuff. I think that would be a little hard to pull off, but I think they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly having an episode where we're on the inside of the Bureau looking out.
Yeah.
And something where we see throughout the entire episode the Legends doing something, but we're seeing it from the perspective of what on earth are they doing? Oh, they just did that. What were they thinking?
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, from out of the loop perspective. And it could color how we see the Legends, how the Bureau sees the Legends, and how the Legends ought to see the Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, I think the Time Bureau is hard to really see as anything but a plot device and a thorn in the side of the heroes.
Yeah.
So I'm curious where they're going with that, but not so curious that I feel they need to keep going with it past this season.
Well, and I think that's why I'm frustrated by it. I don't need it to stick around.
Oh, the Time Masters didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
The JSA didn't.
That's sad.
Well, we saw them last season. And
yeah, no, I get what you're saying, but yeah.
So I would like to see them also exploring more parts of the DC universe that are a little further afield than just cleaning up, you know,
their own mistakes.
Their own mistakes and just happenstance time anomalies.
Yeah.
And maybe have some implication that maybe the Time Bureau is what is moving a few of these pieces around, causing some of the problems.
Yeah.
I don't know. The episode with Mick's father I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
The actor they had for him I think did a terrific job.
Yeah.
Good character building episode for Mick. And the use of Gorilla Grodd I thought was terrific.
Yeah.
Little unclear how he got there from where we had last seen him in Flash.
Yes.
But part of that is, it's sometimes, again, hard to remember exactly where we left off with some of these characters we haven't seen for many months or whatever.
Yeah.
What else have they done that was particularly...
I think it's a little interesting how much they've done with people seem to want to believe in a higher power. We had Bebo, the god of war. We had Grodd being accepted as a god.
We had Damien Dark as Odin.
Yeah. I mean, it just... In the Jack the Ripper, Damien Dark comes back episode, we had people doing pagan rituals of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to have been a theme in a third or half the episodes.
It does go towards a more supernatural slant this season, hence kind of fitting Constantine in, which I'm all for. I like how they've kind of de facto roped that NBC series into this universe.
Yes.
And I would like to see that kind of expand a little bit in scope in terms of where they're able to go with these CW shows. I mean, next season is the, or next year is the 80th anniversary of Superman.
Mm.
And I'd like to see, again, maybe Supergirl, maybe one of the other shows are a crossover. You've got that Superman. You've got Brandon Routh, who plays the Atom, who could reprise his role as Superman.
Yeah.
If they could get Tom Welling as the Smallville Superman. Dean Cain has done stuff on Supergirl. They could bring him as Superman of the Lois and Clark universe. I'd go ahead and bring in Tim Daly, who did the voice of Superman for the animated series, as the Golden Age Superman.
That's fine.
But the fact they're able to pull from other shows and either officially kind of pull it in like they're doing with Constantine, or just the fact that they've got Helen Slater, who played Supergirl. You know, they've used her. They've used John Wesley Shipp, Dean Cain, Erica Durance. You know, they've really honored the actors in the shows that have gone before to make this multiverse that they've built up so rich.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that aspect of it. And again, being able to see in this show, you know, last season and stuff, Jonah Hex and things of that sort. Tons of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think what time periods I'd really want to see them go to. We're starting to get teased Legion aspects in Supergirl. Certainly, this is a time travel show. They could go to a 30th century and encounter the Legion of Superheroes proper. I doubt they'll do that, but it would be fun. Likewise, some of the other places that would be cool for them to go to, Skartaris, kind of the hidden land of the Warlord or whatever. Kind of the land that time forgot, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a little hard, but you look at what they did for the season finale, season opener, where time's broken, they could, they've done dinosaurs before.
Yeah.
They can do CG characters, so that's an option.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I was surprised when there was, with the Helen of Troy episode, we fly by Themyscira to drop her off.
Yeah.
Really would have liked to have seen that touched on a little bit more. I think they've reworked the show into a better kind of a premise than it started with, and they're doing some cool stuff, but there are occasionally some points where it's like, I feel they should stretch a little bit further.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying it, but if I had to rank the four shows, you know, it'd be tough, because there are times I'm really liking Arrow, times I'm really liking Supergirl or The Flash or whatever, times I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah.
I thought the contributions they had towards the crossover
were nice.
Extensive. Yeah. Very well done.
Yeah.
Getting the Leo of Another World brought in, I thought was a cool move. So, you know, they're not doing a bad job, but sometimes it's a little, I mean, the previous two seasons had a very clear arc. This one, they've alluded to the arc, but we haven't, doesn't feel like it was really started the arc.
Yeah.
And that's, maybe that's just what I'm feeling is.
I think that's where I'm at. And part of it is aspects of the arc feel like leftovers from the previous seasons in terms of Damian Dark.
Yeah.
And aspects of the arc feel too undefined in terms of the girl with the water powers. She's on the villain side, but is she part of Damian Dark's plot or not?
Let's think about that. We've really got three season arcs potentially at play. Damian Dark and what the hell is he doing, which has a been there, done that kind of a feel to it because we've already defeated him the once. There's the Mollusk or whatever arc, you know, the big demon who takes over, whatever he is. We don't know yet. We've gotten his name in a little teaser here at the end.
And he seems to be part of the Damian Dark arc because we interacted with him seemingly when Canary touched Damian Dark as he was using the crystal thing to bring Nora back.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. I had not made that association, but that's fair. I was seeing it as a separate thing.
Well, Nora was talking about Mollusk when she brought Damian Dark back from the dead.
Okay. So the connection between the two is
tenuous.
Tenuous.
But it seems like...
No, I agree with your logic. I just... Yeah. I hadn't... My mind wasn't there yet.
It just seems like the two seem to come up in conversation together.
Yeah. I guess the Damian Dark is the arc that's happening, and the other one seems in the future. And they may tie in together, as you've given ample evidence. But then there's also the whole totems and what's going on with that.
Yes.
And then the whole Time Bureau and time anomalies.
See, and I'm not even sure that I rate the Time Bureau as an arc, and I think the anomalies are a device.
I see them as joined at the hip, and do we start next season with them still having to fix anomalies? I'm willing to bet yes. Mm. I think it's just a reworking of the premise, and
yeah,
we'll see where they go with that.
I think they became we need a reason to be traveling through time, and they gave us the reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I moved them to device category out of plot and arc category.
I think they're device, but they're enough of a recurring plot line. You know, what's going on with Rip? He's now in prison. From the way Sarah was talking, it feels like she's wanting to break him out and figure out what's going on. He's playing into the whole thing. And they may all kind of tie together there at the end. They may not. But there's times where it's like very much, oh, this is playing up with the Time Bureau and stuff, so let's put this other thing a little on hold. Sometimes they overlap.
Yeah.
It's hard to... It's unclear in my mind how they think that the various parts are playing together.
Me too.
Using the Wave Rider as one of the main... set pieces or whatever locations for the crossover really worked.
Yeah.
Particularly when they were having a shot of just the assembled heroes there. I thought it worked well. For no other reason than having the stairs into the office gave, you know, a couple of rows of people easier to see.
Yeah.
Along those lines, though, particularly after watching this episode where they had the kind of that Christmas dinner, for next year's crossover, I'd like a little bit more of what they did this year with the reception and just the socializing of the different casts.
Yeah.
Because there was a little bit there where it was more just almost a montage these people are talking, those people are talking. We don't hear what they're saying. We don't need to.
But it's fun to see who's friends, who gets along, who's apologizing for that kidnapping way back when.
Those were the sorts of things that really reminded me of the JLA-JSA crossover in the comics. And by crossover, I mean the JSA didn't have a book.
Mm.
So for two or three issues every year, the JLA book was basically, we're bringing in these other characters. We're all up in the Justice League satellite. We're having a buffet. You know, the Aquaman's over there talking to Starman or whatever. The two Flashes are over there, you know, Batman and Huntress over there, those sorts of things. Or however they were kind of going. And just sometimes the body language you would see, again, who's playing with who, who's talking with who, who's annoying who, was a lot of fun. And they've captured that. And I think this show, out of all of them, has that best sense of family because it's, well, all of the shows, there's Team Flash, there's Team Arrow, etc. Mm-hmm. This literally is a team.
Yes. Yes.
And at times, it's a subtle difference, but it's an important one.
Well, it's a combination of the team aspect and the shared living environment.
Yeah, I was going to say, the other difference is Arrow has the mayor's office, or they had the nightclub, or, you know, whatever. Supergirl has, you know, Catco and the DEO. Flash has Star Labs and the police station.
Yeah.
They've got the Wave Rider.
Yeah, exactly.
There is no, let's cut to what's going on over here.
Yeah.
And I think that gives this show a different flavor and focus.
Yeah, it does.
That benefits it.
Yeah, I agree.
It's one where it's a little harder for people to just kind of swing on by for a visit.
But by the same token, they all knew where Jefferson was going to go when he was packing up his stuff and getting ready to leave. They knew which rooms resonated with him and where he would want to emotionally say farewell to the Wave Rider before stepping off.
I fully expected they were going to be waiting there as he was going towards... I was expecting him to take the little pod out.
Me too.
But then I'm realizing, wait, he just flew back with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, certainly hope that's not the last we see of Jax. And I agree with your point of, as the mechanic, be a little hard for...
Yeah, they need him.
They need him. But they could pick him up a couple of months later or whatever, as he's had some time or whatever. Or he sends them a message saying, yep, I'm ready.
I half wonder, would it be months or years? I'm wondering if he'll go to college. And once he's got that college degree, whether it's been years for them or not.
I don't think so, because they've usually had the present day stay in alignment with the viewing time.
Yeah. And that's the frustration I've had. I wish they weren't trying to do that.
I think it makes sense, too, particularly with the other shows going on.
Yeah, I can see that.
If nothing else, I'd like to see him maybe guest star over in Flash or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Be fun if they encounter him.
Yeah.
And because I'm trying to think how many... I guess they all... Well, they would have seen him at the crossover and such. He'd make for an interesting guest star there.
Yeah.
So, anything else on this, or wait until we've seen the rest of the series?
Until we've seen more of the season.
All right. Cool. So, we've just finished watching the season finale of Season 3 of Legends of Tomorrow. We've already talked about the first 9 episodes, and it went for another 9 after the winter hiatus. And where we had left off before was John Constantine had just kind of showed up, and then... When we came back from the winter break, that's when we got the first full episode with him.
That's right.
And he showed up there, and I think maybe a time or two later.
Yeah, he was in several episodes.
And it was nice because it you know, takes the NBC Constantine series, which had already been connected to the Arrowverse thanks to Arrow.
Yeah.
But makes him a bit more of a full-fledged member.
Well, he had a meaningful role in what he did here.
Yeah. He was definitely recurring and more than just, you know, a one-off, one-time, hey, we were lucky to get him sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that they were, if they had gotten a fourth season, going to add him as a regular and the actress who plays Ava.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten a fourth season. And in the end of the finale, it implies he's at least going to be back for the beginning of the next.
Yes.
And so I think he's going to be a regular because just like the end of the second season... was, okay, we've got these anachronisms that we've got to go, you know, we broke time, we've got to go fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Here, the end of the season was, other things got loose, other demons, you've got to go put them back.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming next season they're going to bounce between demon fighting and time anachronisms and kind of a combination thereof.
The legends spend a lot of time cleaning up their own mess.
Probably too much. And we also saw some turnover in the team. We had Firestorm leave with Martin dying and Jackson leaving. He came back for the finale.
Mm-hmm.
We had Kid Flash join the team. Mm-hmm. At the end of the season, we've got Vixen leaving.
Yes.
Which I had kind of expected. They had set that up in earlier episodes.
For me, and not being familiar with the comics is part of it, it felt like it took a really long time for them to state as fact, we know the grandfather of her grandchildren is not Nathaniel, Nate.
Yeah, that really only came in the last couple of episodes.
Yeah, because they were so focused on she has to go back to Zambezi, she has to have the child who then has the grandchildren, the people have to die in 1992, there are things according to history we know have to happen. But they weren't showing us pictures, they weren't even tossing up a here's her and her husband and her daughter so that we would say, oh well, okay, she's not married to a white man, therefore it's pretty safe to assume.
I wonder if some of that was contract negotiations. If Nick Zano had said, you know, I'm ready to move on to something else, they could have had him leave with her, but they didn't, and I'm glad. He's a good actor, but I mean, she is too. I think they're both good characters.
I like them both here. But story-wise, I thought it would be interesting if somebody finally realized we don't know who the grandfather is, and we reached a point where he was saying, I love you so much, not only will I give up the traveling through time, I'll give up all the modern technology I grew up with and live in Zambezi in 1942.
Definitely, I think that would have been an interesting direction for them to go. I get why they decided not to go that way.
Yeah, totally.
I'm wondering if they consider Constantine the replacement for Vixen, or if we're going to get somebody new joining the team next season.
To me, personality-wise, Constantine feels more of a Rip replacement.
I can see that.
More of the slightly out-of-the-box, I don't want to say awkward guy, but personality-wise, so different from the others.
I would almost argue he's a bit more of a replacement for Mick. Not that Mick's leaving, but he's almost moving to a different role.
Yeah.
And with this kind of a team, I mean, there's a definite, you know, personality group dynamic that they can change up from time to time.
Well, and Mick has evolved over the seasons.
Yes.
Which, when we very first met Mick back on Flash, if you had told me this character is going to have a growth arc, he's going to evolve, and you're going to look back and have to steal a bad Star Trek The Next Generation joke, you know, see Mick fire on things. Yes, Mick, fire the gun. Have that character go from a very cut and dried, simple, you know what he's going to do character, to a more nuanced, more mature character.
He was always a little bit of an odd fit because Captain Cold kind of made sense.
Mm-hmm.
He had a code of honor. Mick was just a burn, kill, you know, kind of a thing.
But Mick followed Cold. Without wanting to admit he was the follower of the two.
Right. Well, but also Cold made that possible by the way they interacted.
Yes.
And again, we got the other Cold from Earth X for a couple of episodes as a grief counselor after they'd lost Martin.
Yes, which I loved.
And I think that was a lot of fun. One of the things that was fun in the finale was they brought back Jax, they brought Jonah Hex back.
Mm-hmm.
They also brought two or three other characters. Helen of Troy was the main one that they'd interacted with.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to see at some point them do, and I would, frankly, I'd hold it for the series finale. I'd like to see them do that sort of a thing and basically have the Legends up against, you know, whatever the great threat of the season is. And the penultimate episode kind of being a you and what army.
Yes.
And at the beginning of the next episode, they've assembled all of the other legends.
Yeah.
The Hawks, they've pulled back in time to get, you know, Firestorm from when they can.
Well, because of when Martin died and because of everything that's happened in the Arrowverse, I wanted Jax to see if kind of there was another other half of Firestorm, even if he had to go to one of the other Earths to find it.
I think there was definitely that possibility. I think they could have brought Ronnie back.
Yeah.
And done some stuff there. I mean, they still have that option. I just don't think they're going to take it. But I'd like to see something down the line where the various characters that we've had come and go, you know, at some point they kind of celebrate this is all of the people that had been.
Yeah.
You know, bring Leo Snart back to represent Cold. The two Hawks, Firestorm, Vixen now at this point.
Kuasa.
Would you consider her one of the legends?
I think by the end, because of all the changes they made to history, she had become one.
Actually, it'd be fun to get all the different Vixens, all three.
Yeah.
So there's a lot they could do there. The fixing of time anachronisms, I think, was fun. I do think they need to get over the, we mess up, but that's just how we do things.
Well, it's one thing to do the, our plans go wrong, but we recover, we fix within
it's the one hour. It's one thing to adapt.
Yes. It's another thing to say, we break all of time and need an entire season to not fix the mistake we made in the season finale last season. And that's the degree to which I want them to tone it down.
Well, but there's also a we blunder into success approach. That needs to be, okay, now we think we're starting to get the hang of it.
Yeah.
And they're not there yet.
Well, you've got a very skilled fighter in your captain. You've got supposedly a brilliant scientist.
With Ray, yeah.
And I say supposedly because they nevertheless see that.
As much as I like that actor, I'm ready for the Atom to just go away. They rarely use him as the Atom. They rarely use him as a scientist. He's just the goofball.
Yeah, they have not done well with that character for me. I think, honestly, I think Mick is one of the characters they've done the best with in terms of I didn't think they could give him that much. I'm trying to mentally run down, okay, who's on the ship right now? Sarah Lance, in terms of how she came in versus how she is now, to me it's kind of a wash. I don't see her as having gained great amounts of confidence. I don't see her as having truly matured. She stepped up into a leadership role when she needed to. But if you look at her back on Arrow, she did what she needed to do to survive.
She's more of a team player. She's more of a leader, but she's not radically different than when we had seen her present day.
Yeah.
Other than not being dead anymore.
You know, lots of people go through that.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Amaya was not necessarily a moral compass or a grounding force, but by bringing her from the 1940s, she had that mothering aspect. It reminds me of Captain America saying language.
But she lost that fish out of water time-wise very quickly and completely.
Yeah.
She acclimatized not only to the present day, but to a futuristic time ship.
Yeah.
Without missing a beat. And while I think she was a good influence on the character, or on the rest of the team, I mean that character, if somebody were to have watched almost any random episode that doesn't explicitly reference her being from the 40s.
True.
And say, to the viewer, one of these characters is from the 40s. Tell me which one.
I think the same can be said, though, of one of these characters is from the distant future compared to the other characters.
True. Or one of these is an assassin compared to the others.
Yeah.
Or one of these is a brilliant scientist compared to the others.
Yeah.
I think they've lost a little bit of the individuality to a degree.
One of these is a passionate historian.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, the library is still kind of his office, but they've toned it down so dramatically.
Except for the episodes where it was Leo's office as the grief counselor.
Well, that's true, but that was just funny.
That was great stuff. I mean, they're doing some fun stuff with the show, but it bothered me a little that kind of the grand finale involved them being the totem bearers versus them being the heroes they were.
Okay, I had multiple issues there, but let's back up slightly, and I don't know if we're backing up two, maybe three episodes, to when the totems first got distributed. That annoyed me.
It felt a little random.
I want Captain Cold to be aboard ship for the distribution of totems, because we've given Mick fire.
And he should have gotten water.
Yeah, cold getting
ice
water.
Ice is water.
Yeah.
And there could have been a very fun interplay. Well, obviously I get this. Well, how come?
Yeah.
You know?
To me, that was just natural. And that was the moment when I'm like, okay, you let Cold go too soon.
Yeah. I think Wentworth Miller brings a lot to the dynamic, and I'd like to see him recur.
Yes.
The other thing that'd be fun for a finale sort of a thing is have those totems that have been taken to get redistributed, have that team show up as kind of part of the Legends Army.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, them just kind of tossing the totems to the highest bidder.
Well, and not seeing Steel up, not seeing Adam in the Adam suit.
Yeah.
And in the penultimate episode of the season, we got Kid Flash running around. We got some of that, I guess. He was the only one to show up in his superhero outfit in the finale.
Mm-hmm.
But are these people who just happen to be on the ship, or are they superheroes?
Yeah. When they went at the very end of the finale to visualize their champion, that one form that would represent all six of them, and it took me a while to realize, okay, the one form represents all six of them. I hadn't drawn that conclusion from what they said before.
Yeah, that to me, it was, well, the problem with that is when they had done the ritual the first time, it created something and they were still standing around it.
Yeah.
So for us to realize that this new ultimate fighter or whatever, that they were inside or possessing it or whatever.
Yeah.
They did not sell that at all.
Yeah. But when they started describing what they wanted this ideal champion to be, because Rip has sacrificed himself for the team, because he was the one who first brought the team together and had faith in them. They're having had faith kind of that he was right to trust them through his leadership. When you said, do you think Rip will be the face of the champion? I'm like, that's a brilliant idea. And instead we got Bebo.
Which was a fun callback and one that I had expected. The Good, the Bad, and the Cuddly.
Yeah.
Is the episode title.
I mean, I'd been warned Bebo was in the episode, but I was like, that's how?
To me, it was almost a Ghostbusters Stay Puft Marshmallow Man reference. And it was fun, whatever. But it comes down to this group, or even in this universe, there isn't almost that Superman figure that people would just, well, this is the ultimate, you know, good guy.
Yeah.
And I don't think these guys would have thought that of Rip.
True.
I'm not sure out of all of the characters they've associated with, if there's anyone that they would all kind of look that way on.
Well, and part of it is we're intimately aware of the flaws of all the characters we interact with. And Rip spent part of this season in jail.
Let's say this had been a Marvel show.
Okay.
And therefore you would have had Captain America to draw on.
Yeah, he popped into my head actually as we were talking. That's kind of funny.
And the fact that they didn't have, including Nate's grandfather of Commander Steel, they didn't have a JSA member to kind of reference on that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of those things. They'll toss some stuff out there, like the JSA last season. Sure, we got Vixen the whole time. Not that she was ever a member of the JSA in the comics. But we really haven't seen... We didn't get a touchback to that this season.
Yeah.
And some of what they did with a couple of the characters, I'm thinking Ava in particular, they rushed to set up they can't know the history of this character.
Yes.
Next episode, we learn the history of that character, and it's a... This is out of the blue.
It's out of the blue. It casts Rip in a poor light in a variety of ways.
It undermined Ava entirely.
Yeah.
As being not only potentially replaceable, but having been replaced 12 times.
Yeah.
Because she's essentially an automaton from the future.
Yeah. She's a clone who is an anachronism in 2018, whose sole purpose is to get rid of anachronisms.
Yeah. Rip needed a loyal number two.
Yeah.
So he got a replaceable number two that follows orders because that's the factory spec.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's a little different from the base model, but it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
It made, and I think a lot of what happened in the later half of the season really goes towards these, actually a lot of what the show's done, these heroes are replaceable.
Yes.
This one doesn't work out, cast him off the ship. This one doesn't work out, you know, replace him.
Yeah. Well, when Jax got off the ship, I was furious. The one guy who can repair your engine.
Then we get Zari from the future who can just magically do this now. And we find this out because she's just been doing it. Not that they ever really set that up.
Yeah.
It's like the writer's room. It's like, who's going to be the mechanic now? Yeah. We spent all this time building Jax up for that. We've gotten rid of him and the need is still there.
Yeah.
The other thing I find interesting in terms of the bigger Arrowverse stuff is Gideon has a different voice here than over in Flash.
That's funny.
Which isn't a big deal, but I'm wondering, they should clarify they're two different Gideons.
I was going to say, aren't they basically the same production house being made at the same place?
And what's funny is the voice of Gideon on Flash is Marina Baccarin, who's over on Gotham.
Yeah.
So not only is she working in DC and Marvel simultaneously, she's playing two characters in DC.
Yeah.
Or one and a half, depending how you count Gideon.
Well, I thought the season finale suggested a show they could spin out. Helen of Troy. I don't think they're going to do a Wonder Woman show, but she was practically Wonder Woman in every way.
She was filling the role of Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. And she was doing pretty good at it.
It would be interesting for a crossover for them to bring her in as the Wonder Woman, use Arrow as the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Superman over on Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Stuff they could do. The episode where Damian Dark comes back, they do enough bouncing in time, it's hard to really follow his timeline.
Yes.
And I just, I like the actor, but how many times do they got to go back to the well on this?
Yeah. Well, and in the finale when Ray tells Dark, I'm going to help you save Nora. I'm going to help you save her before the demon takes her over. I did not think we were going to 1992 Zambezi.
I kind of did. It's like go back to right before things went south. I just don't know what Ray's plan was because I don't think he was expecting Damian to take over and become...
Agreed. He never imagined Damian was the type who would sacrifice himself for anyone, even his daughter. But I was sitting there thinking, so we're going back into the 80s, I guess? Star City or wherever that would have been?
Oh, the asylum?
We're going back to wherever Nora first got...
Got possessed. I don't know. I don't think he would have... I don't know what his plan was. If you go that far back, you kind of undercut most of the season.
I'm okay with that if it takes care of the demon. And hey, my plan never opens the door. Which, yes, that means next season doesn't happen the way they want. But it also means we don't spend a whole season cleaning up a mess we made.
No, we spend a whole season cleaning up the mess and then we unmake the mess so the whole season doesn't matter. Much like what happened in the last season of Librarians.
But this isn't a mess we made. We're going out to some highly evil man, Damian Dark, convincing him he was wrong to let a demon possess his daughter and taking him back in time to undo his mess.
Yeah. It could have worked. I don't know how satisfying it would have been. But that was one of those where it's like, oh, we've got to do all this work to get the time drive because we've now got the one out of the pod into the ship.
I think it's amazing the same drive can handle either the big ship or the little pod.
Well, and it's so quick to put back.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, it was quick to pop out after Rip had stolen the main one that Zari and Kid Flash could deal with that. And then, I don't know, there's a couple of things I think they write themselves down a path and then they just kind of wave their hands to get out of it at times.
Well, they did use Kid Flash to replace it. He had to take Zari with him.
He took Zari down to go do it. And given how fast Ray was able to put it back, there's no reason to think Wally had to do anything.
Yeah. I'm only going with Gideon's head Wally West completed, as opposed to saying Zari.
Fair enough. I wasn't paying enough attention, apparently. They had some decent stuff, but again, how would Wally have known how to do that?
Yeah, whatever. Exactly.
The fact that it wasn't these heroes being themselves that saved the day.
Yeah.
Literally not being themselves in multiple senses of...
Well, season after season, these heroes have to learn to work together.
Yeah, I'd like them to get past that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying that seems to be the recurring message of the seasons.
I'm thinking next season will take a little bit of a different direction because they're apparently going to bring more magic and stuff like that in.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be working better with the Time Bureau. I'd like to see, in terms of guest characters, I think Zatanna makes a lot of sense. She is a Justice League member who speaks spells backwards.
Yeah. Okay.
She was used on Smallville a time or two.
Okay.
So that's a Justice Leaguer that would make a lot of sense to bring in and would know Constantine. So it'd be a way to bring her in as a guest.
I get the feeling Gary's coming back.
He's comedic relief and nonsensically at times.
Yeah.
So if they want to bring him back, that's fine. If they don't, I'm good with that too. I'd like to see Booster Gold show up. In the comics originally, he was a football player who'd gotten into a scandal. He'd like essentially bet on his own games. He'd done some bad stuff.
Nine.
Completely disgraced. Winds up being a guard at a museum. Says, I want to be a hero. So he steals some of the stuff. And what he steals is a suit that'll give him some enhanced strength. That, you know, basic superhero suit sort of stuff. A force field belt. And a ring.
Okay.
Force field belt belongs to Brainiac 5, who we've since seen over in Supergirl. It's a Legion flight ring. So this gives him flight, and he gets some other weaponry so he can shoot blasts from his wrists, whatever. And he steals the robot guard he deals with, Skeets, and goes from the 24th century to the 20th century and becomes a superhero celebrity huckster.
That's funny.
Promoting cereals, all this kind of stuff. And becomes a bit of a joke. But then what they did with him later is he basically became kind of a time cop, if you will, fixing things that went wrong in history. And it kind of his cover if he's the goofball Justice League member.
Yeah.
He's also, I'm trying to remember this right, yeah, he's the father of Rip Hunter.
Oh, interesting.
And it, they do a lot of really good stuff with Booster Gold over the years. And depending where we were to get him, you could get the young version, the old version, a couple of different things. Hell, they could even be how he gets out of the future. So it makes sense to kind of bring him on board for a guest shot or two. And I think would bring in a level of, I mean, he could be kind of the Ray Palmer replacement for that, not the golly gee shucks kind of a thing, but that enthusiasm that, oh, we could just do this, and always kind of scheming to make a buck, kind of a different version of the tech billionaire. Here's the one who wants to be the billionaire, doesn't know the tech, but stole it, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
There's a lot they could do with the character.
Yeah.
And it fits what they're doing with the show. Less so than the whole magic stuff they're going forward with. But if they're going to go with that, I'd like to see them dive into some other areas of the DC Universe. The world of the Warlords, Qataris, would make a lot of sense for them to go visit.
Okay.
And there's some other magical type stuff they could do. I just, aside from Jonah Hex and one or two things like that, they haven't really explored too much of the DC Universe. So they've got a good show. I think they've got some good actors. At times, some of the writing is really good. At other times, it's just, oh, well, we need this, so it just happens.
Yeah.
So we'll see where they go. I'm glad they're getting another season. I think, as far as I know, all the CW shows got renewed for the superhero stuff.
Nice.
It was interesting that this and Supergirl and Black Lightning are almost kind of fighting for that additional slot, if you will. But that's why these are, in some cases, getting a little bit shorter runs.
Interesting. Yeah.
They need to do something to make the team not feel as much like losers or the second string characters.
Yeah.
The cast-offs from the other shows.
Yeah.
And it may be that what you do is you bring in somebody who seems like a big deal character, either over in Supergirl or whatever, just long enough to get introduced and established, and then shunt them via a crossover into the Legends. You know, at this point, if we got Mon-El or something like that, it'd feel like he's another cast-off or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you get somebody who seems like this is the lead of another show that we're just not watching.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I don't know. Stuff they could do. I just think they need to build up a few more leads, make this team a little stronger, and have one or two other characters kind of waiting in the wings should Arrow not continue to like an eighth season or something.
Yeah, I agree.
So it was good, not perfect. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm curious if they bring in another character next season.
Yeah, me too.
So anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.